Hey, Fire fans and MLS fans, this is Nick with the Feed the Fire podcast, where we are talking all things Chicago Fire and Major League Soccer. In tonight's episode, we are recapping the Chicago Fire's home loss against Real Salt Lake. We're going to look ahead to their next matchup against Atlanta United, and I'm going to try not to have an emotional breakdown recapping that game in the process. So for all this and more, please stay tuned. Hey Fire fans, welcome back once again to the Feed the Fire podcast. I am your host Nick, and I thank you for joining me this week and commiserating with me this week and drowning your sorrows with me a little bit, and let's have a little talk therapy and let's get through this together as a fan base after witnessing what was the Chicago Fire's worst performance of the season, a 4-0 loss at home to Real Salt Lake of the Western Conference. Now we're going to get into all those reactions and feelings, and we're going to dive deep down and see just what's ailing this team. But first, a little housekeeping. I want to recognize a new listener, Darren, all the way from Toronto. Great to have you tuning in to the Feed the Fire podcast. I don't think we'll ever get him to become a Chicago fan, especially with the way Toronto is moving up the standings lately, but we appreciate you listening and tuning in. Thank you for the support. Also, shout out to our featured guest, John Donovan, who has returned from his hiatus. He didn't have a recording for you tonight, but hopefully he will fill you all in on his travels and some of the matches that he took in while he was traveling. I know he saw some good ones. Also, I will be joining Scarves and Spikes, an Atlanta United fan-created media channel YouTube podcast. So for anyone out there who's trying to get a jump on the Chicago Fire from an opponent standpoint, make sure you find and follow Scarves and Spikes. And I'm not sure if our preview episode will be part of their Patreon package or if it'll be available to everybody, but go ahead, check them out. They've been putting out great content on the Five Stripes for many years, and I'm really starting to get to know some of those guys from our MLS group chat. Also want to recognize Hive2O, a new honey-based alcohol. It is very sweet. It is very delicious. The peanut butter and jelly flavor is a lot better than I expected. So shout out to the Hive2O team who was promoting their product at the Chicago Fire tailgate. I ended up with half a case of it as well as a couple little cooler bags. So they couldn't have been nicer, and it seems like it's a good product. They said locally sourced honey, and it's alcohol. So what do you know about that? Two of my favorite things. And as a Greek, I know good honey. My island in Greece, Kythira, some of the best honey in the world. They haven't mixed it with alcohol as far as I know. Wouldn't shock me if they did. But anyway, go check out Hive2O. I appreciate their hospitality. And a final reminder, go find Glasshouse Soccer on Goals TV, where you can get our scores and standings recap each and every week. One more little bit of housekeeping. That was a big deep breath because we're transitioning into this RSL recap. And I want to start it with a couple emails I got from our friend and longtime listener, Ryan, here. The subject line just says, "Fire Klopas now." And the email came in, I don't even think the game had ended yet. I'm looking at the timestamp. The game hadn't even ended. And he says, "Nothing more to say than the subject line, I do not care. I don't think they could be coached any worse without him." This was written at the 36th minute after the third goal. Yep, there you go. So he's a half hour in. Now, he does send a follow-up email that says, "After thinking some more, currently this season feels even worse than last year. If it continues, then I think Frank and Heights need to go as well as all the dead weight on the team. Even though I think Heights earned himself another season, he simply cannot stay if this is how the season will go. If we're out of the playoffs early enough, get rid of everyone during the season and give Joe as much time to replace Heights. Also, idea, not sure if Joe would go for it, but would you be willing to purchase ownership of the team if offered, kind of like a Green Bay Packers, and maybe allow part owners to vote on the hiring process? Not a final say, but something where we fans have some input. I think the Sounders do this." That is a really interesting idea. I'm not sure exactly how the Packers are set up or how the Sounders are set up. I think they're more of like investors rather than actual owners, even though you kind of get your ownership stake, you get your shares, your shareholders, right? And then, yes, you get to vote at, say, a shareholders meeting, yay, nay, vote of confidence for whoever's the director, the CEO, whatever, how the company set it up, right? So I think that's more how they do it rather than having direct input, because that can get really messy, especially from a legal standpoint, if people actually have a vested interest in naming people to the board. And that would also expose you as an owner to a lot of risk as well. So I don't think that's the ideal way to set it up. Honestly, if the team offered it, I'd be on board. I would absolutely buy a share into it. We have seen that with a lot of other teams, local Midwest teams, smaller scale type stuff. I think there's a couple teams in California who did it as well, just to try and raise some funds and get a share. But I would really want something back from that. You know, if it's like pay $100 and get a single share and certificate, okay, fine, that's one thing. But I've seen investments or people asking to become an owner for like $10,000, and you don't even get tickets to the season for it. It's just another way to drum up investments and donations and things like that. So if this was a legit ownership type of thing or a shareholder type of thing, I'd be in. Ryan, let's get it going. Come and find me, man. I got your first share. We'll take care of it. And with that, let's transition into this RSL match. This absolute bottom of the barrel, rock bottom match that the Fire have played here. I thought it was Zach Thornton Ring of Fire night. I was incorrect. That's actually this upcoming weekend against Atlanta United, so make sure you get there early for that. And a sidebar. Again, I'm the typical lawyer here. I'm going to set it up and then I'm going to sidebar immediately to try to distract you from what's going on. But sidebar, and this is good to know, because as bad as the on-the-field product has been for the Fire, the organization still is really attentive to the fans and to these post-game surveys that have been put out. Now, maybe you don't want to put out the post-game survey immediately after a 4-0 loss, or maybe you do. Maybe you want that kind of blunt feedback. But I got an email today that season ticket members are going to be able to purchase some of the giveaways that the Chicago Fire have, starting with the Zach Thornton bobblehead night. So again, a lot of people complain you didn't get the baseball jersey, you don't get the flags, they don't evenly distribute them amongst the gates, or they should reserve them for season ticket holders, or how come people are taking six when they only have one ticket? All of that things are somewhat being addressed now, because yeah, it's hard to police a mob. And handing out one thing and another, people coming back asking for others, this and that. I get it, it's tough. They probably could do a better job about it, but in this case, at least they're giving season ticket holders the option to purchase it. So here's the language of the email I got. Beginning April 27th, 2024, all members will be able to purchase exclusive match day promotional items through the 2024 season. Many of our heritage nights, alumni nights, and other theme nights have a specific promotional item included. Below is an overview of how the program will work. All finalized promotional nights and items can be purchased through the season ticket member headquarters on your account manager. Items cost $15 per item. All proceeds benefit the Chicago Fire Foundation. Limit 6 items per account. Please note this purchase does not include any meet and greets. If you would like to participate in a meet and greet, you'll have to purchase the ticket bundle for that match. Some of the upcoming items include a scarf for Greek Heritage Night, Belgian Heritage Night, Irish Heritage Night, ooh, hadn't heard of that one yet, Black Heritage Night, and a hat for Union Night. Available while supplies last. For a full list of items available to members, please view the member headquarters page on Account Manager by clicking on the button below and signing into your account. So if you want to have that option, go hit up your local season ticket member and see if they'll buy you some of the swag for you. Or maybe this is another incentive for people who are on the fence about becoming a season ticket member, the fact that you will get the ability to purchase items you missed out on, or additional ones for your friends and family. Like I might consider picking up a few more of those Greek heritage scarves. They're pretty cool design, and I think there's going to be a few people in my church or around who might want them. So that might be a fun little thing. The one thing I will say is I did already go in and check it out, and for season ticket members who are going to do this, it does look like just buying more tickets. It's set up almost exactly like a ticket, like how it would look in your app. It's as if you're looking at another ticket. Very similar to how a parking pass looks like. It's just another ticket. It's an admission for parking. If you don't pick them up at the game, I don't think they'll guarantee them for you, and I imagine it would be difficult getting a refund. But for $15, wait, Scratch that. There's taxes on top of it. I already checked. So every $15 item is actually closer to $19 after taxes. But at the very least, it is a sign that the Chicago Fire are still responsive to the complaints of the fans and the desires and wishes of the fans. And here's an opportunity for them to make up for missing out on a promotional item. I think that's fantastic. Or if you want to guarantee you get it, I should say. I don't know if you'll be able to. It doesn't look like you'll be able to buy them after the fact. You'll be able to buy them beforehand and reserve them if you don't get them. I don't know if you can buy them after the fact and still go pick them up at the designated spot. So that would be something that needs clarification. And I might reach out to my rep about that. Anyway, let's get back to the RSL game. Enough avoiding it. So last week, Frank Lopez had a quote at his media session. He was asked about what's going on, the fact they only have 3 goals from open play. Here was his response last week, prior to the RSL game. Quote, "A lot of our work this week has been in the final third. How can we get numbers? How can we get more dangerous? Our deliveries, our entries into the box have to increase." End quote. Thank you to CHGO Fire for writing this out. Chris Mueller also asked about being more aggressive in the final third. And his response was, "We have to have more courage to get balls in the box. It's that fear of losing the ball. You have to be willing to take risks." So, did the Fire actually take risks? Did they push forward? Did they get numbers in the box? They didn't score a goal. They had 5 shots on goal. They did not do the thing they actually were practicing. So, there's a lot of reasons for this here. Let's do the stats breakdown, and then we will get into some of the reasons why they failed at all of this. So the Fire actually ended up with 49% possession, 12 shots, 5 on goal, 3 blocked shots, 365 passes, 84% passing accuracy. So again, when I see 5 shots on goal, but 84% passing and 365 total passes, to me, that just means they were dinking the ball around in the middle of the third, in the defensive third of the field. Especially only 5 corners. Here's the stat. We need to get balls in the box. We need to be aggressive. We need to get Kuypers the ball. 8 crosses. 8 total crosses. Failure on the coaching staff. Failure on the players. 2 offside. 7 aerial duels won. An XG of 1.5. I'm actually kind of shocked they had an XG of 1.5. There were a couple runs that Mueller had in. Probably should have finished 1 or 2 of those. Yeah, that's not a good look for Chris Mueller, especially after him saying you got to be more courageous to get balls in the box. He's never been that kind of finisher. He's always been more of a shoot from distance, place it rather than mix it up and poke it in kind of a guy. But still, I don't want to make excuses for him. He definitely knows he needs to be putting those chances away or at least getting the ball over to Kuypers. 15 fouls committed and 1 yellow card. I'm actually just kind of happy to see that the Chicago Fire did not incur any yellow or red cards as a result of getting down early and being so frustrated. But we did see, and big shout to Jiggly Carollo on Twitter for finding a great picture of Teron and Herbers screaming at each other during the game while Teron has the ball at his feet. It is incredible. If you look at the still image, it looks like a set piece, but nope, this is live. They're screaming at each other, and RSL defenders are like, do we go take the ball from them? What do we do? This is so odd. What a bad look for the team. Reactions to this. I've seen a lot of reactions. I have my own reactions to this. My first reaction was, I had such a great time at the tailgate. It felt like I was at a bar with a lot of good people, a lot of good friends. And yeah, the soccer game was going on in the background that nobody seemed to really care about. We'd look up every now and then, and there was 1 more goal for RSL. But one of the reactions I have seen, and this was a reaction from Bradley Wright Phillips on the MLS postgame show that a lot of fans have picked up and echoed, don't waste any more of your time and money on the Chicago Fire team. They don't want to be there. They don't care. Why should you? I get it. It's a gut reaction kind of take after a terrible, terrible loss where your team actually looks like they don't even want to be there. They don't want to be professional soccer players. Like, I think Acosta and Brady are maybe the last 2 guys who actually are trying and looking the part. Kuypers, to a large part, but when you don't have the ball, it's hard to look the part. I don't like this reaction. I mean, if you're gonna, this is your team, you're gonna support it, you're gonna be a fan. Fine, maybe you don't want to go to any of the games or buy new tickets. I don't know if I'm at the point where Bradley Wright Phillips is saying turn in your season tickets. Gosh, what a year for me to be a first-time season ticket holder, right? But I think this is a bit of an overreaction. And what are you gonna do? I've seen people too say, vote with your wallets. Don't give money to the fire. Don't go buy tickets. Don't buy concessions. Don't buy jerseys. Anything off the website. But really, how much less money is this team gonna make? It's not like they had 25,000 people coming to every game, and then they got bad, and now it's like, oh no, we need to boycott this team. They're already having such low attendance. It's not like you're really going to kill anybody. And with the new red jerseys, everybody went out and bought the new red jerseys. So no one's buying extra jerseys. I just don't think spending money, I don't think there's just the ability to vote with your wallet on this. I think the fan engagement surveys are something that the organization really likes to receive and will place some stock in that, especially because it is very corporate, modern corporate thing to do, engage with your consumers. I think that a lot of the people at the Chicago Fire offices are listening, hopefully, to my podcast or to at least other people in the media, actual credentialed media folk, right? I think there is a lot of that. And you, as fans, too, have to make sure that you're engaging and consuming media that's covering things objectively and not just putting rose-colored glasses on it. And that's the other thing, the rose-colored glasses thing. I disagree with this as well. It's not that bad. The Fire are injured. Salt Lake's a really good team. Chicho Arango is going to win the Golden Boot and be the MVP. This is a situation of more than one thing can be true at the same time. Yes, RSL is a good team. They're up in the Western Conference standings. Let me just pull this up real quick and I'll tell you exactly where they stand. They are currently third in the Western Conference. After this result against the Fire, 4 wins, 2 losses, 3 draws. They're on 15 points, tied for third with Colorado on points. They own the goal differential breaker there. So RSL, yeah, number 3 in the Western Conference. You've got Chicho Arango, who now has 8 goals and probably 3 or 4 more assists, I want to say. At least the 2 from this game. So yeah, he's an MVP candidate at this point. RSL's playing really well. But coming into this game, RSL signed Columbus Crew's Academy center back or second team center back. They were not solid on defense coming into this game, but they have played better than that, and they're being motivated by a good coach. They're being motivated by each other, and the sum of the whole is greater than the individual sum of the individual parts, kind of a thing. I butchered that phrase. Please forgive me. If anyone knows it exactly, please leave it in the comments. But yes, the RSL is a good team, but that doesn't mean the Fire aren't terrible, and we have to excuse this last performance. You're at home, first of all. You are desperate for points. You supposedly have been practicing your offense and getting numbers into the box. That didn't happen at all this match. So there's a lot more going on than just you ran into a good team. And yes, they are injured, right? Gutman, Gasper, Gutierrez was a late scratch. He hurt himself in warmups. Shaqiri came off early. A lot of people, that's a nice little subreddit discussion over there. Are we going to insult Shaqiri because he came off injured? Is he really injured? I don't want to get into that. I like to think that even Shaqiri wouldn't take himself off in like the 28th minute if he was just trying to fake an injury. But that's a topic for the internet message boards, not here. I don't think Teron's 100% yet. Salquist was out with concussion protocol. Chios might have a bit of a knock. He might just be looking old. Like, yes, they're beat up. That does not excuse the fact that they don't show up ready to play, they don't care to play, and you lose 4-0 at home against a non-conference opponent. These are the opportunities you need to take advantage of if you don't want to win another wooden spoon, Chicago Fire. The other reaction we're getting is you need to fire everybody. Fire the sporting director, George Heitz. Fire the technical director, Sebastian Pelzer. Fire the head coach, Frank Klopas. And then Joe Mansueto needs to sell the team. That to me is a massive overreaction. Joe Mansueto loves the Chicago Fire, loves soccer in Chicago, and has done so much for this organization as a minority owner as best as he could, and now as the majority owner of the club. I think he has also done so much outside of just the on-the-field product, right? He has given the reins to Pelzer and Heitz to build the team and to build the coaching staff, and that's not working. We know that. But Mansueto, not only has he bought parking passes for season ticket holders out of his own pocket, not only does he care so much about good working conditions for his employees, and I've talked to one of the attorneys at the Chicago Fire at an event this past offseason who said he loves it. He's there. He talks to you. He gets to know you. It's a great working environment. Like, he wants to have people want to work for his organization. He's brought in top executive talent, again, outside of Pelzer and Heitz. Dave Baldwin has an amazing pedigree, and just look at anyone else who's working in the front office. They've brought in great executives. They're building out the academy. They're building out the fire. Well, I don't know if they're building out the fire pitch, but they're adding training facilities. They're doing so much within the community and to build out this organization as a full club. The last piece missing is the on-the-field piece. And so that's why you cannot say Joe Mansueto has to go. He's the one responsible for this. He might be responsible for keeping Heitz and Pelzer, yes. He might be responsible for keeping Frank Klopas, yes. But there was no other option. There's nobody coming to this club right now. And I think the signings that everyone says buy Heitz and Pelzer another couple of years or bought them that extension, Acosta, Kuipers, Gutman, moving away from Shabilko, Navarro, having to do some roster trickery and get Gaston Jimenez technically in a designated player spot, bringing in Salquist and Aragonian. Not enough people are looking at Aragonian. That's a good signing. That is a fantastic signing. So that all bought them that extra year or two, but that also bought them, hopefully, a little credibility with whoever the next coach is going to be. Saying, look, we've got the striker. You know Kuipers is good. We've got Acosta, who hopefully is going to take over as leader once Shaqiri leaves. Can't happen soon enough. And all we're going to have to do is kind of rebuild some of the back line, get that DP winger. Come on in, coach, whoever you are. Like, this is a good setup. So that's why I'm not on the Fire, Heitz, and Pelzer train. I was in the offseason because they didn't show a darn sign of improvement. Now, all right, this is your second go-around. And if you follow kind of the general philosophy in sports, right? You have a bad season, you get rid of a couple bad players. You have a couple bad seasons, you get rid of the coaching staff. If you have a few bad coaching staffs, two or three bad coaching staffs, then you got to start looking at the front office. And so Heitz and Pelzer have had Wiki, who in hindsight, I think he didn't have the right players for his system, but is still much better than now. You had Ezra, who was a complete flop, and you have Frank Klopas, who was a complete flop. So maybe you do start looking a little bit more closely at Heitz and Pelzer, but they've bought themselves one more coaching hire. I think having to turn around the entire roster and the only person available to coach this team was Frank Klopas. But as far as Frank Klopas, yeah, time to fire him. Fire him, get rid of him. He should never be near this organization ever again. He should have never been made interim last season. Should not have been named head coach this season. Honestly, anyone would have been a better signing. And I know I said he was the only option, but literally anyone would have been a better option. They just, I guess it's the devil you know is better than the one you don't. Like, at least you know Frank's not going to go and say anything ridiculous in a press conference. But he should never be near this team again. And honestly, he has gotten a lot more slack than Ezra Hendrickson did, than probably Rafa Wicki did, and towards the end, you know, with Velko Paunovic as well, who, by the way, apparently goes to a lot of Fire games as well and was spotted at the last one. So you want to fire Klopas? I would support that 100%. I'm personally not there yet with firing Heitz and Pelzer, but I'm getting close. The other thing is, if you fire Klopas, are you giving in to the players? Because it's clear he's lost the locker room. No one is listening to him. No one's paying attention to him. I wish I could go to a training session. I wish they would have released any sort of post-game quotes that Klopas had. I didn't find any. I didn't see any. And even people are joking that the Chicago Fire highlight video of this game has edited out all the RSL goals. But, you know, on the other hand, why would we show RSL highlights in the Chicago highlight section? I don't know. But it's pretty obvious that they're controlling some of the bad press here, or at least trying to make sure that some of this stuff doesn't get out. Or, you know, what can you say after the worst defeat ever? Maybe we're going to get an announcement on Klopas since he wasn't available yet. We'll see what happens this Wednesday. But here, if we're not past that point, right, if there still is any shred of credibility with the coaching staff in the locker room, you need to now put the accountability on these players. I get wanting to be professional. I get not wanting to throw anybody under the bus. I get wanting to look after your guys. But Frank, no one's listening to you. It's time you start calling out your players. Call each and every single one of them out. Nobody is above reproach in this one, because the only two players who I could say might be above reproach, Kellen Acosta and Chris Brady. Kellen Acosta, step up and say something. You're the new guy, but you're a leader in this league and in this American soccer landscape. Say something, man. Who gives a darn about what Shaqiri thinks? Say something. And Chris Brady, I understand you're not going to want to throw your defenders under the bus, man, because who knows what they're going to do to leave you out hanging in the future. But, man, how about you say it's much easier to play defense if the offense scored a goal every now and then? I mean, we used to hear it from the Chicago Bears. The defense would call out their offense, and the offense had an okay game after that on occasion. Unless I'm just misremembering things again. It is Chicago sports. Who knows? I do have a lot to drink when I watch the Bears play, too. But there's got to be some accountability. And if nobody's going to call out the players directly, I would love if the coaching staff decided to play all the bench players and call up some guys from CF2. And if you have played 1 minute at the senior level, you are ineligible to play for the next game. That's how I would look at it. Like, I want Orhel, Casas, Rodriguez. I want Shukaluk. I want all these guys. Who else is on the bench? Like, start Kutsias and Barlow. Who else would be your defenders? Put in Suke, Dean, just Pineda, like the three-man back line, right? Just put in all your bench guys, call up your CF2 guys, get Glasgow up here, and just bench everyone who's played a senior minute so far this season. One other note I had here, like, I understand players don't want to be known as unprofessional and throwing guys under the bus, but honestly, with the season this bad, I think people would look past it. Okay, I'll leave it at that. We're going to take our little halftime sponsor break here. I want to recognize Skira Icelandic Spring Water as a sponsor here on the Feed the Fire podcast. If you or your brand are looking to get into some soccer marketing and get into the Chicago soccer area, please reach out to me, glasshousesoccer@gmail.com, and it would be great to put together a sponsor package for your group as well. But I do want to recognize Skira as our first sponsor, who's been with us since even before episode one. One of their founders was like, come on, man, come on. I used to listen to you at Sons of a Pitch. Let's go. Let's keep this going. Do another one. And so here we are. So big thank you to Skira Icelandic Spring Water. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a government-protected nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, pun intended, it's one of the best, and you can go out and get yourself several bottles of Skira Icelandic Spring Water at your local 7-Eleven. And I did hear they were looking to expand into Walgreens in the New York area, so if you're out in New York, check a Walgreens, let me know if they're there yet. But please, thank you, or please and thank you to Skira Icelandic Spring Water, and please and thank you to our listeners for supporting our sponsors. Now, next week, the Chicago Fire match up against Atlanta United. And Atlanta United, the Five Stripes, currently sits in seventh place in the Eastern Conference on 11 points. They've played 8 games, 3 wins, 3 losses, and 2 draws. 13 goals for, 9 goals against. But here's what's interesting. Their home record, 3 wins, a draw, and a loss. Their away record, 2 losses and a draw. Oh, well, look at that. Look who is playing away and is not a very good away team. Atlanta United. Can the Fire take advantage of a struggling road team? I don't know if they can, just given all the infighting and terrible issues they have. But looking at Atlanta as the road team, they lost to Columbus in the season opener, 1-0. They lost to Toronto, 2-0. And they drew NYC, 1-1. So they're not that high-powered offense compared to their home games of dropping 4 goals on New England, 2 on Orlando, 3 against the Fire back at the end of March, and then they had 2 in Philly. They've actually had their worst home game of the season just this past weekend, a 2-1 loss to FC Cincinnati, where they did not have a first half goal. They got on the scoreboard midway through the second half, and then Cincinnati put in 2 goals after that. So Atlanta is going to be hungry for goals. They're going to be hungry for points after that disappointing loss. And in looking at their lineup against Cincinnati, they might not have had their top choice lineup in that match, and the Fire might get that top choice lineup. So if you look, they played a 4-2-3-1, and I think that's kind of how they typically play. Brad Guzan in goal, and from left to right along the back, Caleb Wiley, Abram, Cobb, and Brooks Lennon. In the defensive mid positions, Slish and Mavumba, and I'm butchering those names, so apologies to Atlanta United. Your attacking midfielders, Mosquera, Almada, and Lobianije, and Daniel Rios as your striker. Now that was your starting. But you did see Zonde Silva sub in. You did see Yorgos Yakumakis sub in. You did see Ajani Fortune sub in, as well as Ronald Hernandez on the back line to help shore up the defense. And Tyler Wolf got an appearance as well. So they do have some talent coming in off the bench. And it would not surprise me at all to see Yakumakis starting in this game. I really hope he does, and I really hope Kutsia starts, because that would be just a wonderful Greek Heritage Night lineup for me. My little Greek heart would be beating blue and white all night for that matchup. And I think that is what is going to happen, that you're going to see Almada and Yakumakis starting, and you're going to see some rotation with some of these back lines to keep them fresh in... hopefully not too cold of a Chicago weather here. It was definitely a little chilly this past match. Maybe that's how Gutierrez got tight and felt something, and Shaqiri had those calf muscles feeling tight again in the cold weather here on the lakefront. But I would expect Atlanta United to come out in a similar 4-2-3-1. I would, though, expect Yakumakis to be starting at the very least, maybe Zonde Silva as well. I'll have to get the lowdown from the guys over at Scarves and Spike on Thursday night, so make sure you're looking at all their social media to see the preview there. So that's what I am looking for from an Atlanta United team who really can score a lot of goals, who can score quickly, who can do it from the build-up, especially with Brooks Lennon pushing forward in it from his traditional wingback position, from set pieces and counterattacks, Thiago Almada, and Yakumakis can score anywhere, any part of the body, any time, left foot, right foot, inside of the foot, outside of the foot, header, volley, set piece, he can do it all. So he's the total striker package, and so that really scares me with a beat-up and beleaguered Chicago Fire backline. Now, normally I'll get into a lot of the stats on this, but I just did not look up all the Atlanta United stats, because you know what? It really doesn't matter. They could be the best team in the league, or they could be the worst team in the league right now, and it's up to the Chicago Fire to how they want to play. Are they going to come out with a little bit of fire? Are they going to come out with their pride on the line and say, we can't have another game like RSL? We need to actually put up a fight. And even if we lose, we'll show the fans that we're still interested and we're still here to play and fight for them and fight for some points here and not be an embarrassment to everyone who wears this jersey. So regardless of Atlanta stats, the Fire need to have a complete turnaround and a mental attitude. But from a tactical perspective, if they can get an early goal on Guzan, if they can force him, he is not having a good year as a keeper, and I think there have been a few games where he has also been benched. There's been a lot of talk about that in Atlanta United circles, about whether Guzan should be the starting keeper or should even still be on the roster. If the Fire can get to him early, get him frustrated, get him yelling at his defenders. Maybe he lets in a bit of a howler and the Fire get in early. I think they could salvage a point. If they do that, this could be a 2-2 game, which would be a huge improvement from the Chicago Fire. That's my heart talking. Realistically, I think it's a 3-1 Atlanta victory, and I even don't know if the Fire can get that one. And now we're back to my heart. I think Giacomakis ends up with a brace. I think Kutsias gets one off of Guzan Howler, and then I go have some Saganaki and we enjoy our Greek night. That's what I think happens. I don't expect the Fire to win this game. I don't know how anyone could pick the Fire to win this game unless Atlanta all of a sudden comes up with a bunch of rash of injuries this week and they end up having to call up a lot of reserve kids to play in this match. And with that, I'm going to end this episode. Not as long as we typically do. I hope to see everyone out at the Atlanta United match. Again, Zach Thornton Ring of Fire induction ceremony. It is Belgian Heritage Night. So if you haven't already got your scarf and package, a meet and greet package, you can go meet Hugo Kuipers for Belgian Heritage Night. Similarly, they're also doing a Greek Heritage offer for a scarf. And you get to meet Yorgos Kutsias. I'll be there for that. I'm looking forward to that and talking to him. And hey, maybe we'll see what he's doing for Greek Easter coming up in a couple weeks here. And, we'll share some stories and maybe have a little lamb one night in the future. We'll see. So I'm excited for that. Looking forward to hanging out with some of the supporters groups again in the tailgates. It's been great getting to see everybody from Barn Burners, Arson City Ultras, Red Light Supporters Group, and just the whole lot out there in the South Lot. Always so very welcoming. Thank you to that. I will be with my wife at this game, so we're going to tone it down a little bit, guys, from the last couple times we were, doing shots and Chicago handshakes and things. But it'll be nice to introduce her around and get the real fan experience out there in the South Lot with you all. Thanks again. Make sure you like, subscribe, rate, review, share the show. And as always, let's go Fire.